everybody. I hope you can hear me. There we go. Now I can hear myself. Wait a minute. It's all crackly again. Hey, Scott, I thought you were supposed to be in here so you could say goodbye to me. This is my final day on the air, and I'm going to wish you all some things. I'm going to have to wait until the fire engine goes by, I guess. I'm going to wish you all good luck, and I'm going to tell you things that I wish for you, my listeners. And I've had some wonderful listeners. I've had some listeners that didn't like me either. Also, not either. Anyway, there are a handful of listeners that are quite regular to listening to my show, and I know them by voice. A few of them I know by name, but these wishes are for you, and they're also for everybody who listens in. Kind of interesting how many people see my little ad. Every week I put an ad out right before the day before Wednesday, talking about Dr. Feynman and the show that's going to come up, A Progressive Life. And it's amazing how many people see that ad respond to me on that ad, and yet they don't call in. But that's fine, because talk-in shows, as Scott says, talk-in shows tend not to get talking shows is what I mean to say, don't get people to call in because they're listening to what you're saying. Not that I have a whole lot of pearls of wisdom that I talk about, but I basically talk about what I believe. And I've lived 76 years in this world. I've had a father who is a Methodist minister, a mother and a sister who were actually angels. I mean, there was no doubt in my mind that they were the perfect human beings. And a brother who I loved anyway, even though he wasn't one of the perfect ones. I've had wonderful children. I've really had a great life. So some of the things I'm going to wish for you are things that I've had myself, and I don't want to be stingy. I think you should all have them. Of course, the first thing that I wish for all of you is a good life. And I'm saying a good life. It can be long. It can be short. But it needs to be a good life. You need to feel comfortable with who you are and what you've done for other people. I often wonder, some of these mega rich people, and I have nothing against being mega rich. If that happens to you, more power to you. Some of these mega rich people have had to do some things that I think I'd worry about at night. I guess they don't. Maybe they do. I don't know. I can go to bed at night, and I can be very comfortable. Ask my wife. I fall asleep within about 3 minutes, and I have no regrets. I haven't hurt no one that I know of. I'm sure I've offended people, but I've not hurt anybody, physically hurt anybody. I hope I haven't hurt people listening to me with negative thoughts or anything like that. Now, I, like all people, I do have bad opinions of some people, and probably shouldn't allow those to fester. If you're angry with somebody, or you hate somebody, or something like that, the only person that seems to really hurt is you. So that's why I try not to do that. I fail miserably sometimes, but I think we all should try to do that. One of the things that my mother always stressed with me, and I'm trying to find it on my list of things that I wrote down for this show. Here it is. My mother always believed that you should use understanding first. Understanding, in other words, you should learn to turn the cheek. What good does it do if you if somebody offends you? What good does it do to offend them back? Turn that cheek. ignore what they say to a point, but listen to what they say. Maybe there's a nugget of wisdom in what they're saying about you, you know. It may be as simple as you have spinach between your teeth, or it could be as difficult as you just don't like anybody, or things like that. Listen to what the people say, and then turn your cheek and not be angry with those people. I try that. I have occasionally get callers that call in and tell me I'm full of poo-poo, and they may be right. I listen to them. I try. If they tell me a fact or what they think is a fact, I will try to look that up after the show's over and see whether what they were telling me has been proven or not proven, you know. And most of the time, I'm pretty good at finding out what is the fact and not what is the extended mistruth. There are a lot of people that have listened to a lot of BS for a long time, and they begin to believe a lot of that. And some of it may be true. A lot of people listen to a lot of truth for a long time, and some of it may not be true. So do your best. Do your best to be kind. Turning of the cheek and understanding other people, understanding where they come from. If somebody absolutely disagrees with you, let's say politically, try to understand why they believe that way. Scott is very good at that in his interviewing, that's one of the reasons why Scott and I get along so well. I wish he was able to come in today. He did not. He promised me we would say goodbye to each other on the porch here, but we did not. Goodbye, Scott. that's one of the things that my mother always stressed with me is learning to turn the cheek. Now, some people call that cowardice. I call that bravery. If you can turn the other cheek, knowing full well that there will be people that will call you a coward, and knowing full well that you won't get retribution for something that offended you, some people will call you a coward. I call you brave, smart. I call you courageous, that sort of thing. After watching all these murders that we've had of children and teachers in schools, it would be impossible for me to turn the other cheek if one of my family members was involved in that. But yet, you can turn your other cheek in a way where you turn it into a positive. You turn it into changing life and changing other people's viewpoints. And that's kind of turning the other cheek. However, I know darn well I would not turn the other cheek in a situation like that. I fail on many accounts, and that's one of them. But I hope that you can find a way to understand your neighbors, understand your family members. There are a lot of people that struggle with their family members understanding why they believe that way or this way. Nothing worse than going to a family outing and having a giant free-for-all because one group likes Trump and the other group likes Biden, or one group likes being a Catholic and the other likes being a Methodist, or whatever the situation is. Just keep your mouth shut and understand that the other person has their points as well. All right. Well, anyway, I hope we can all have long lives, but if not, make your life, your shorter life, a good life by filling it. Fill your life with things. Fill your life with understanding. Fill your life with education. Fill your life with joy, and try to be as helpful to other people to do the same thing. Another thing I wish for you, I wish that you have the desire to learn. Now, I was terrible in school. Now, I did graduate from college. It took me 9 years, but I did graduate from college. Actually, it took me 6 years. 3 of the years that I count as my college years, I was in the Army. So that's a little bit different. But I did take a long time. And I, as you my favorite listeners probably know, I have a little bit of a dyslexia, which means I don't read very well, and that caused me problems in college. If I had to get through a book, I usually read the first chapter and a little bit of each chapter thereafter, and I just couldn't get through them. I'd fall asleep after about 10 minutes of trying to read. But anyway, I did have a desire to learn, though. Once I was about 30, the first 30 years of my life were basically dedicated to hedonism. I wanted to enjoy everything there was to enjoy. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying it was kind of shallow. Hang on, I got to take a sip of coffee. Hold on. Okay, so it wasn't a sip, it was a gulp. My first 30 years were, well, at least my first 27 years. Before I got married, my life was full of hedonistic things. I like to drink beer, I like to play sports, I like to go out with girls, I like to have fun. As opposed to helping other people have fun. I really didn't care much about other people, I guess. I did care about them, but that wasn't a feature in my life. I wouldn't say anybody that knew me when I was 21 would say, boy, that Coble was a real empathetic type of guy. I was a lifeguard at the beach, and I enjoyed being at the beach, and I enjoyed seeing the girls, and I enjoyed having a decent body with people looking at me saying, oh, look how young and good looking he is, and that sort of thing. Well, that passes, by the way. I hate to tell you this. I'm 76 years old, and I try not to look in the mirror anymore. There are times that I have to, you know, you got to look in the mirror to shave and that sort of thing. But I wish for you that you have the desire to learn. And I mean deep dig learn. I don't mean go to the books and find out how to do calculus. That's good for people that need to know calculus. But I mean the type of deep learning where you think about things and you make judgments in your own brain based on your life situation, based on your the things that have happened to you, based on what you know to be facts. Facts have changed throughout our lives. One of my complaints, as you many of you know, I'm an atheist, but one of the things that actually created that in me is I started thinking about all the stuff we, as Christians, believed in, many of which were written 4,000 years ago. You know, the Old Testament is basically the Torah of the Jewish religion. And much of that goes back to Abraham and all those old folks. And they aren't just old. They were old even back then. They were old. And we're talking about thousands of years ago, not just a few years ago. At the time of the Old Testament, we barely knew what fire did, okay? At the time of the New Testament, which is where I tended to go as a fairly religious young man, I know I said I was a hedonist, but I really thought I could justify being a hedonist while being a Christian. But as a young man, I really tried to follow. And my father taught the New Testament. He was much stronger on the New Testament. Dad taught from the pulpit, and a lot of people didn't like it. Dad taught historical critical religion. It meant that you didn't necessarily believe that there was an ark, because it said it there was in the Old Testament. Oh, we have a phone call. Let's go to the phone and see what this person has to say. Hi, how you doing?
Well, Glenn, I know I'm not that Scott, but I am a Scott.
Okay.
Say goodbye to you.
Well, thanks, Scott. I appreciate the call. I hope you've not hated my shows too badly.
Oh, no, I find you rather entertaining.
Okay. You know, I think there are people that think I'm absolutely wrong that find me entertaining. But
yeah,
I appreciate the phone call.
You're all right. The world's wrong.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I keep telling myself. Well, I hope you, I wish to you a long and happy life.
As to you.
Thank you.
I hope you have a lot of fun with your RV.
I'm planning on it. We had one this last weekend. Now, this coming weekend, it's supposed to rain all weekend, so I'm not going to be going. Yeah. I'm going to give it my best shot, though, for the next, let's hope, a few years. All right?
Well, as long as you guys are broadcasting over the air, I hope to hear reports from Spears about what you've been doing.
Well, I am. I told Scott I am not canceling being on the air, and you know I wasn't fired, and I didn't really quit. I just retired, and told Scott I will do anything he needs. Like if we have a political show where he wants me to come on and talk, or we have election coverage or things like that. I'll still be on occasionally.
Yeah, well, like I said, as long as you guys are broadcasting over the air, I hope to hear you.
Well, I hope we stay over the air as long as possible. Scott's...
Well, I do too, but if they're dead set on going digital, I don't know if I'll be able to listen anymore, because
yeah.
I don't have internet, and I don't plan on getting internet.
Yeah, and Scott... I don't think he's dead set. I think he thinks that might be our only chance because we've had some struggles with people here in the city, but we'll find out. I hope we stay over the air as well. Thank you very much for your call, and I wish you every happiness in your life.
You too.
Okay.
Have fun, buddy.
Thanks. Bye-bye, Scott. That was Scott. A different Scott. And he's one of those voices I recognize. I do wish him a wonderful... I wish the people that hate me, I wish them a wonderful life. You know, I think the world would be a lot easier to live in if we all had a wonderful life, even if we were not very nice to each other. But that's not what I mean. Even if we were disagreed with each other. If we could treat each other with respect, I think we sure would have a lot better life, all of us, okay? Anyway, I was talking about the desire to learn. I think we all need to instill into our kids the desire to learn as well. And like I was saying, not the calculus type of learning. I mean the deep, dark, not dark, deep, soul-lifting type of learning, where you find out what you believe is the truth of life. And I think there are a lot of truths of life that our religions have lifted up to us. I think if you go to most of the major religions, you will find a group of suggestions, like the Ten Commandments, that give you an idea of what is right and wrong. People have said to me, as an atheist, how do you judge what's right and wrong? Well, how does anybody judge what's right and wrong? In your heart, you know what's right. You know that if you treat other people well, that's right. If you treat other people poorly, that's wrong. Those things, they're not necessarily a religion. They're just part of being a good human being. And I think a lot of us need to follow that. We need to find a way to treat other people like human beings. again, the religious thing, a lot of most of our religious beliefs come from people over 2,000 years ago, or around 2,000 years ago, most of the Christians. And 2,000 years ago, most people thought the earth was flat. That was a belief. Last night when I was planning to do this show, I went into a whole thing in my brain of what is faith? Well, faith is the earth is flat. That was a faith back at 2000. Faith changes, and I have so many of my friends that say, well, you have to have faith to be a good Christian. Well, I find it difficult to base my life on faith alone. I like to have facts. I like to follow facts. I like to know facts. And I understand. My friends who are still staunch Christians will say to me that their faith is a fact because they've been told by God, or they've prayed about it, or something like that. Well, then you're having faith that you're talking to somebody. I talk to somebody all the time. I do thank nature. I thank the world for all the bounty that I've been given. But I don't lay it on a white bearded Anglo-Saxon man sitting in white robes, sitting up in a throne above the clouds. I base it on what is going on. I base it on the fact that I believe human beings are nothing more than very smart animals. Look at human beings. So many people want to, like the lion, like the evil lion, I should say, or like the renegade animal who goes out and kills other animals just to kill. There are very few animals that do that. Animals kill to eat. Humans kill for the joy of killing. I do not understand that. And I'm talking about the joy of killing other animals as well as killing other human beings. I am absolutely convinced that many of these, I don't know what to call the people that are so evil at the head of state, that don't care about some woman crying because her child was just killed by one of their soldiers. I don't understand that type of thinking. And I don't think we should understand that type of thinking. Any religion that you're in would not condone that sort of action. And it goes on all the time. Because those, and I will say men, because there aren't too many women in that autocratic point, but most of them are just so selfish that they want to get everything for themselves. And I think they probably fear the fact that they might lose some of that, even though they're multi-billionaires. I just don't understand it. Anyway, I'm glad I'm not. If I won that lot, wasn't the lottery over $1 billion, if I had won that, most of that money would have gone to other people. I dream about that at night. I dream what I would do with if I won the lottery. Now, I'll never win the lottery because I never get into it. But if I would happen to win something like that, wouldn't it be a joy to help the homeless? Wouldn't it be great fun to help the people that are struggling to find a dinner for tonight? I think that would be absolutely wonderful. With no strings attached, none. One of the things I used to work at the credit union, and we would give food to one of the food pantries here in town. And one of the food pantries that I chose to give it to did not have requirements that you show you're poor. I find that offensive. I find that a slap in that person's face, that they have to come in and prove that they don't have any money. Now, sure, you're going to be taken advantage of occasionally. That was one of the things my mother taught me about turning the other cheek. You're always going to be taken advantage of. So what? What difference does it make if somebody takes advantage of you as long as you're doing the right thing? You should be proud of yourself, not envious of other people. You know, one of the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not covet. And now, do you know what the word covet means? I remember having to look that up a long time ago. To covet is to want something somebody else has. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's manservant or maidservant, and so forth and so on. There is no need for me to want what somebody else has. Now, I want to have shelter over my head. I want to have food. I want to have love in my life. But there is no need to have somebody else's. You can develop that for yourself. And that's another one of my angers with the Christian, especially the current Christian religion. So many people, this prosperity doctrine. I found joy, and I tell you what, I am ashamed that I found joy in watching that prosperity doctrine pastor on TV when he was robbed at gunpoint and the person took away several hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars worth of jewelry that the man had under his robes. The theory, I guess, is that God will give you stuff because you're a good Christian. Well, a good Christian would have read the proverb of the widow's mite. They would know all the Good Samaritan stories. They would know the prodigal son stories. They would not think that God cares about them because and will give them money after money after money. I find that reprehensible to even suggest that that is a legitimate reason to be religious. What's the Bible say? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get in the kingdom of heaven. I believe that's what vaguely what it says. Where do these prosperity gospelists find the gall to say something like that? Well, if that's what they believe, that's what they believe, I guess. I find it really hard for me to believe that they honestly believe that sort of thing. Okay. Anyway, learn and teach people to want to learn. You have to want to. You really do. Another gulp of coffee. I wish for you good health. Now, and I'm going to tell something on the air that probably my wife would have a fit if she knew I was going to say it, but a few weeks ago I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. Nothing bad. Don't worry about it. I'm good. My urology, the worst part about having a urologist is my urologist is a beautiful young woman. It's kind of nasty to have to get naked in front of her, but she is, I'm sure, a top flight urologist, and she basically told me, we caught it real, real, real early. We're not going to do anything about it. No medicines, no radiation, nothing like that. We're just going to watch and see if anything happens, and we'll take care of it as it goes. So I kind of thought that. I'm pretty good. My brain is pretty good about knowing when my body is in trouble, and I kind of sensed that something was wrong. And the only reason really why we even knew about it is that I took a blood test that told me that I had something going on. And I had a heart attack 10 or 11 years ago, something like that. So I've got a hint of how I'm going to go. I hope I go in my sleep, but, you know, something like that might happen. But I still think of myself with good health, even though those two things have happened to me in my life. And the reason why I think I have good health is I feel good. I walk every day. I don't eat very well. I eat too much. but I do eat salads, and I do eat all the right things. I just eat way too much of them. But anyway, I wish you good health. I truly wish you good health because it makes you feel so good in the morning. I love getting up with Buddy. We walk at about anywhere from 6 to 7 o'clock in the morning. We take our morning walk. The puppy has to go out and go potty. And we walk and listen to the birds and watch the sun come up. Now, when the winter gets here, I'm not going to be so thrilled about taking that walk. But we listen to the birds and we look at the sun and we feel the breeze in our face. And we just enjoy life and because we feel like we are healthy. Now, I feel terribly sorry for those of us in this world who are struggling with all sorts of ailments. My mother had really bad arthritis, and I tried to help. We walked every night, did little walks so that she would keep her. You have a good day. Bye-bye. Try to keep her mobile. But I think if you would have asked her, even up to the end, do you have good health, she would have said yes, even though she was kind of stuck in a wheelchair. So I wish you good health. And when I say good health, I mean feeling good. I know a lot of us will have ailments throughout our lives that we cannot do anything about. They just come on. But we can continue to do the best for ourselves and think about that, you know. That's part of that learning thing. Learn what's good for you. I drank beer way too much when I was younger. I have really cut that way out. Not way out, but, you know, maybe once a week. I smoked until I was 27, and I quit that. I'm really glad I did that. I'm sure that helps me have a better life than my friends who are walking around with a bad cough. I was starting to get one by the time. I guess I smoked about 12 years, and I was starting to get a little bit of a cough. I'm glad I quit smoking. I didn't do it out of a noble reason. I did it because I accidentally dropped an ash on my son. And my son was 1 year old, something like that, and I dropped an ash. Fortunately, it was not a burning part of the ash, just the, but it made me realize what in the heck I was doing. And that's when I quit. Anyway, I hope everybody in your family has good health, too, because the family... If the family has people in it that are really suffering, it tends to pull the family down. And I hope all of you are lucky enough to have, you know, we're all going to have ailments. So, you know, if your sister has, you know, some sort of ailment. My sister had a cancer of sort, but she lived a good life. It was a blood cancer of some sort, and she was able to live several years after the diagnosis, and she lived a great life. Now, my sister, if there is a God, my sister is sitting right next to him. It was a wonderful human being. I miss her every day, and she allowed me to be the little bratty brother. And she was 10 years my senior. But she died, I think, when she was about 72, 73, something like that. It was a while back. Anyway, if your family gets sick, it can actually draw your family together. I remember when my mom got arthritis so badly. I didn't go and visit my mom every day. And she lived in the same town with me. I may have visited her once, you know, once or twice a month. But after we decided that she needed to walk because of her arthritis, I was with her at least every other day, if not every day. And it really drew me closer. So sometimes family ailments can help the family rather than hurt the family. Also, there are other times that it just tears the family apart. One of the things that I've noticed about families that have illness in their family, some members of the family get jealous that other members in the family are being are not doing anything. Leave that alone. Truly, leave it alone. If your sister isn't helping your mom out when she has, let's say, a cancer or a heart disease or something like that, you do it. You'll find that you get more joy out of that than the anger you're feeling towards your sister who's not helping. And maybe your sister doesn't know how to help or is scared of helping, afraid of helping. So again, we've got to think. We have to learn, and we have to know why people are doing what they do. It doesn't do a bit of good. You have to have that understanding we talked about earlier. Now, I know today's show is long and tedious, and I hope that you will listen through. I'm going to continue on this for the first 2 hours, and then we'll go to Swap Shop, the last Swap Shop ever, I believe. Swap Shop, we may do some more silly stuff. But I wanted to give you my wishes, because my audience has been so wonderful to me, and I've been able to have such a good time here at WWGH, and I hope you are too. And it gives you something to listen to, right? Even if you got somebody old, boring old man like me spouting off about my religious views and my political views and my emotional views, it gives you something to listen to. All right. Another thing that I think we all have to, I wish for all of us to have, is the ability to listen. Now, this is akin to the desire to learning, but also the ability to listen is a little bit different. If you can open your ears, you might hear something that you didn't know was there. It's a lot like opening your eyes and seeing the joy that little three-year-old girl has in her eyes when she sees daddy. The ability to listen to that little five-year-old boy who just pitched the greatest throw he ever threw in his life to daddy, and he screams out how happy he is. Those visions and the ability to listen to that is very important. But there's another type of listening that you need to do. When you're talking with people that you disagree with, or you're talking with people you absolutely agree with, if you can listen to what they have to say, you will find that they are saying far more than you thought they were saying. Well, we are now joined by Scott Spears.
I heard you complaining.
Well, yeah, but I'm doing all this philosophizing. And you brought me lots of food.
I did.
No, you didn't.
I did. You've been drinking that stale coffee.
Yeah,
for
that
years.
Coffee is getting a little stale. Did you bring any Splenda?
Well, there's cream in it.
All right.
Now try this. That's apparently a good thing over there.
A pie?
A pie.
My wife loves these pies. Is it apple?
No, I believe it's strawberry.
Ooh, I like that.
You get a good break there.
Thank you very much.
Swap Shop, you can give away these Dublin Irish vegetables.
I ought to put a microphone up so that you...
I know, isn't that something?
Yeah, which one is it? Three?
Green.
Green. Well, it doesn't say. Are you got it?
I got. Am
oh,
I on?
Yeah, you're on. You're on.
All right, I'm here.
All right. Now I'm going to add a little of this coffee to my coffee.
I see, because I was listening.
I'm sorry.
No, and I hated to walk in the midst of all that. But, no, I did my show from home this morning because we were giving away Ice Cube tickets and Dublin Irish Festival, and I needed to deliver it to those people. So, but I was going to come in today anyway, so there you go.
I heard you talking, and I thought, well, he told me we were going to see each other.
Yes.
And we never did, but we did.
Just later in the day than you thought.
Yeah, now how do I... Oh, I know. This is a stirrer, right?
No. Oh, I don't know about that. I wonder if that's one of those ones Terry's had in his ear.
Yeah, it's one of them he's had in his mouth.
It's one of the ones he's had in his mouth. It's lucky you. Oh, we will never see you again after that. That'll be the end.
I might... let's see what it tastes like with cream. I've never had it with cream in it.
Yeah, well, I don't... It's one of those things.
Well, it's a lot warmer.
Well, they say they have good coffee over there. I don't know about the cream, but...
They do have good coffee there.
So, what number are you on philosophizing?
Oh, look at all that I wrote down.
What was I saying? You got a big list there.
I have a huge list. I'm talking about the ability to listen. And that's one of the things you have in spades.
Well,
truly.
What'd you say?
You have that in spades.
I didn't hear you.
get out of here.
up until the last day.
Well, the people that you talk to, every one of them that you interview seems to agree with me that you are a great listener. And a lot of people don't listen.
Well, I'm interested in people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just my curiosity, though. Like I said, if I wasn't doing this, I'm like this on a plane or on a bus or in a car. I'm interested in people. I want to know what makes people tick.
Yeah.
Now, some people don't like that, but I do.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I think more people should do. I'm kind of like that. I disagree with a lot of people. You tend to find a way to go down the middle of the road. I will tell you if I disagree with you, but not out of anger, usually.
You know why that is. I'll tell you, the whole middle of the road thing, I mean, obviously I have an opinion. I'm the voting public. It's just that I really do believe, and I've said this a lot of times, I shouldn't be talking about myself on your last show.
Oh, please do, yeah.
No, but here's... No, the truth of the matter is what I don't get is angry at other people's opinions.
Yeah, so that's one here.
Yeah, so it's very easy for me, if you're giving an opinion, if I'm interviewing somebody and they're giving an opinion I don't like, it doesn't spur an anger in me, so you would not know that. I don't feel the need to argue with them. I know that's their opinion. Let them have it.
That is on my list here. Also, I wish for my listeners to find a way to get rid of that anger, because it does nothing for the person you're angry at. Doesn't, first of all, probably doesn't know you're angry at them, or if they do know, they don't care.
They don't care.
So why waste your time being angry?
Well, and the people I interview are the people in life. I mean, honest to goodness, it's really three dimensional. How well do I know them?
Yeah.
You know, I always said, and it's weird because, we've never really talked a whole lot about the atheism thing, but I've always said, if you live a good life and you are good to your parents and you're good to your family and you're good to your wife and you're good to your kids and you leave $1 million to St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital.
Which I'd love to do.
Yeah, but you're an atheist.
Yeah.
If there is a heaven, would you go to hell? And I don't think you would. So... My point is that that's just an opinion that doesn't anger me, because in my mind, I know what I believe, but what other people believe, that's their business.
Well, that was one of the things I thought about last night, and I didn't put it down here, but people are afraid for me because I'm an atheist, but I've said that to 100 people, that if God thinks that I should go to hell, even though I've been good to everybody I know, I've done some bad stuff, but not very bad. What good is having heaven if you have to go to hell too?
Well, I think, and that's a very minor thing in the end to not, in my opinion, to not have the belief because of possibly an analytical mind, or I can't see, or whatever people's reasoning is for becoming. Some people become an atheist because they're angry at something that happened. I mean, that happens a lot.
I was never angry. I just got to the point where I analyzed myself out of believing.
I'll tell you, the only thing I ever found about atheism versus belief is when I was younger and in college, and I was working with younger girls, I noticed that the girls who had a belief system, who had went to church when they were younger, when it came to their first dating experiences or first time at a party or their firsts in life in their adolescence, they were more safe than the girls who did not believe in anything, who did not have that background. Now, to me, that's a good thing. I don't think that's bad.
No, I don't either.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful to have that upbringing. I am so thrilled that I'm not thrilled, but I'm very happy that I was raised by a minister's family. But it's interesting that you bring that up. My granddaughter, my eldest granddaughter, is 18. She's going to Baldwin Wallace.
Good school.
Yeah, she just went there for her first week, and her father and I rib each other unmercifully. I said, "Well, how'd things go?" And and he kind of, "Well, it's kind of hard to lose her, but she's having a great time." I said, "That's what I figured. She's having a great time. Is she pregnant yet?" And he laughed, and then we both went, maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Well,
but he says that she, because of her upbringing, her mother is a devout Mennonite, because of her upbringing, she actually was invited to parties and left without drinking or without doing anything.
And see, to me, that if that is what it does for you alone, that's good, I think. I don't know why that would be bad. I don't know.
I don't either.
So, you know, good enough. But I said this morning when I opened up my show. It's weird not to have a clock that I can look at.
Oh,
okay, we got 2 minutes.
You got
here.
2 minutes. Yeah. I'll keep you up, honest. Well, you got a minute and a quarter.
But no, the thing I want to say this morning that I opened up my show with was, I mean, you use this word retirement, but we all know you're going to be back for election coverage. You'll be back for the Christmas party. I believe as soon as the RV is packed up for the winter, you'll be back doing things, filling in. You've already agreed to that.
I don't mind.
So this is not, you know, like the big,
no,
you're not passing away.
It's not a swan song.
No, they'll hear your voice again. Because somebody called in this morning and said, well, I think it was Lee, who said, you're not going to have anybody left. And I said, well, Glenn just wants to travel. It's not, he's not jumping off the cliff. You'll keep your key. Need it back.
One of our callers called in and basically said that to me about 20 minutes ago.
It's true.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. We got about 30 seconds left to go, so we better get out of here. And we'll be back in about 15 minutes, and we'll continue on, okay? Thanks for, you know, I never timed this right. I've got 15
seconds. Maybe you'll
learn
by the time you get back.
Yeah, maybe so. I never time this right. I either go way too long or way too short. Okay, listen to your neighbors and your friends. Here we go.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. For guests like the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow.
You've had so many interesting people on here. I'm always amazed at who you have.
Well, you have been such a pal, and I know you don't do much media anymore, but you were always so kind to me, and I want to I always thank you when we're done, but I want to thank you on the air for 10 years of being so kind to me.
Well, I've enjoyed every minute of it, Scott. You know, I always say you're the best interviewer I ever had that I do an interview with. I really like to do them.
Well, may it continue. We're not going to stop at 10 years. We're going to go on into the next years. What do you make of his opponent?
Now, you're trying to get me in trouble.
No,
yes,
no.
You are. You're trying to get me in trouble. You're baiting me.
No. We can move around that question. We can move around that. You have always been that nice to me. And, boy, I'll never be able to repay it. It's just been wonderful.
Well, I tell you, you've been nice to me, too, I'll tell you. As I said, you're my favorite interviewer.
Well, that
yes.
That is
so. And I've had a lot of people interview me. In fact, you know, there's some pretty famous ones there too. So
well, I hold that high, and It is true.
WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Go to the website for archived shows dating back to the beginning of 2016. Also listen to us on any mobile device by downloading the free TuneIn app and searching WWGH. Thanks for listening. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey, hello everyone. This is Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. You can listen to our show, The Pastor Spot, every week at 9:15 in the morning on Fridays. And you can call in if you have any questions. Maybe you need something we need to pray about. But every week we have a great discussion. We look at the world through a biblical perspective. And we look forward to you listening to the show.
The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Address 400 Delaware Avenue. Phone number 740-387-9050.
The Dublin Irish Festival is coming home to Kaufman Park. Celebrate 35 years with great food, epic Irish entertainment, and more. August 5th through 7th. Get tickets at DublinIrishFestival.org.
Adam Media and Adam the Computer Guy are a proud supporter of WWGH Radio, offering remote and on-site technical support, network setup, and computer troubleshooting for homes and businesses. Website pctech.biz or adamthecomputerguy.com. Telephone number 740-531-2326. Also available mobile notary services in Central and Mid-Ohio.
We here at WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are proud to present Magnificent Marian Moments. Mary Ellen Withrow was the 40th Treasurer of the United States from March 1, 1994 to January 20, 2001 under President Bill Clinton. She was also Treasurer when the $5, $10, $20, $50, and $100 notes were redesigned in the 1990s. A native of Marion County, Withrow served as the treasurer of her home state of Ohio, a position to which she was elected in 1982, 1986, and 1990. Before that, she was elected treasurer of her native Marion County in 1976 and 1980. This makes her the only person to have held the post of treasurer at all three levels of government, local, state, and national.
Hi, this is Steve Boom Boom Cannon, and you are tuned to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Give it a listen.
This is Scott Spears looking down on the beautiful city of Marion from the WWGH News Chopper. If you would like to ever submit a news tip or an event to the WWGH News Department, email Scott at WWGH1071.com and watch out for the chopper. And now a few words from Scott Spears, Charlie Evers, and the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
You know, Scott, when President Trump announced he was running for president, I called him an egotistical jerk.
Yes, I do remember that. Has your mind changed?
Well, no.
No?
See, you thought I meant that in a negative way. Rookie mistake.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it. Offbeat news and trivia with Nate Redman can be heard every Wednesday here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM from 4:10 to 5 p.m.
Also streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Don't forget to listen.
Hello, neighbors. This is pastor and Bible teacher Craig Heilman. Study His Word Radio is moving to a new time. Beginning this Sunday and every Sunday hereafter, we'll be on at 9:15 to 10 o'clock. You'll still hear the same great Bible study, news that relates to the church. We'll have some interviews with local people of faith. So the programming won't change, but the time does. So I'll see you this Sunday and every Sunday at 9:15.
It's now time for WWGH News. News about people, places, and plans. Brought to you live from the WWGH Newsroom.
This is Adam Lepp in the WWGH Newsroom. The Marion County Sheriff's Office has an immediate opening for the position of Budget Director. You can pick up an application at the County Sheriff's Office, 100 Executive Drive, or visit www.co.marion.oh.us/sheriff/recruiting. Applications can be submitted in person to Captain Ryan Zemter or via email at rzemter@co.marion.oh.us. It's August, and that means back-to-school time is approaching. First day of classes for Marion City, Tuesday the 16th, Elgin Local the 17th, River Valley Local the 17th, Ridgedale the 23rd, and Pleasant Local, not until August 30th. On Monday the 1st, City Police Chief Jay McDonald, Lieutenant Reese, and Officers Rector Lowry and Dubakin attended the funeral of Deputy Matthew Yates of the Clark County Sheriff's Office. Deputy Yates was killed in the line of duty on July 24th. From the Marion County Park District, Jonah will bring live animals to the Marion Tallgrass Trail on the 11th from 5 to 6 p.m., and Night Hike at the Park takes place on the 19th at the Tallgrass Trail starting at 9:30 p.m. Please visit the Park District's Facebook page for more information. From the WWGH Weather Center, 84 for Thursday, passing thunderstorms also possible, otherwise partly cloudy conditions. 69 Thursday night, more scattered thunderstorms expected. For Friday, 82 with thunderstorms likely, down to 70 with more scattered thunderstorms on the docket for you. Friday night, as we begin the first weekend of August, Saturday and Sunday, mid to upper 80s with more precipitation possible. Adam Lepp reporting for The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.